She's the most famous woman in America. She's one of the oldest, one of the most iconic, and by far the tallest. She's green. And no, I'm not talking about the Wicked Witch. Not Elphaba. I'm talking about Lady Liberty. Around 4 million people a year visit the Statue of Liberty in all her glory. But why? What is with Americans' passion for her? Well, it's because of what she stands for and the way she makes people feel. She is a symbol of hope and liberty that has been celebrated for generations. But how much do you really know about her? Why is she here? How did she get here? When did she come? How tall is she? How much did she cost to make? In this episode, I'll answer all that and more. Without further ado, I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and you're listening to the Chronicles of Time. Let's dive in to the Statue of Liberty. To begin our story, we must start with a sculptor named Auguste Bartholdi. Bartholdi would ultimately sculpt the Statue of Liberty, but before he did that, he had intended on doing an 86-foot-tall statue called Egypt Carrying the Light to Asia. It was to symbolize the social progress of Egypt, but Egypt ultimately rejected the project due to it costing too much. Disappointed, but not deterred, Bartholdi remembered a conversation he had been a part of a couple years before, back in 1865. After the United States had abolished slavery, Edward de Laboulaye, who admired the democracy in America, had proposed gifting the states with a statue to commemorate its freedom and to celebrate the coming centennial of the country. Bartholdi decided to take on Laboulaye's project and used his previous idea from his failed Egypt statue plans to create Lady Liberty. The men knew what the statue would be modeled after. Libertas, the Roman goddess of freedom, who was a symbol on coins in both America and France. In 1870, Bartholdi began making clay models of the statue that would be named Liberty Enlightening the World. His clay model included a female in a robe, holding a torch in one hand and a tablet in the other, broken chains at her feet, and a crown on her head. It was said the face was modeled after Bartholdi's mother. Bartholdi visited the United States in 1871 for the first time, and on this trip, the location of the statue was decided. It would be placed on Bedloe's Island in the New York Harbor. Bartholdi said the spot was the gateway to America. Upon his return to France, he began making a plaster model of the statue, which Laboulaye approved of. It would seem the project was ready to go. Now all they needed was the funds to build it. The cost of the statue was to be a joint effort between both France and the United States. France would cover the cost of the statue itself if America could cover and build the pedestal. In 1875, the Franco-American Union was formed to raise money for the statue. Ultimately, the statue would cost $250,000, over $5 million today, mostly paid for by the French people. By 1876, over 10 years after Laboulaye's first proclamation for his idea of the gift, construction began on the statue. French craftsmen and artists were the backbone to the creation of the statue, taking direction from Bartholdi. In May of that same year, the hand holding the torch is finished, and it takes a trip to the United States. It is presented at the Centennial Celebration in Philadelphia, as well as in Madison Square in New York City. Back in France, the rest of the statue was continuing to be built. When the head and shoulders were completed, they were displayed at the Paris Universal Exposition. but it was around this time when the engineer of the project passed away. The new engineer for the project would be none other than Gustave Eiffel, the designer of the Eiffel Tower. Eiffel would do the framework for the statue, which included spiral staircase and a 98-foot inner iron structure. He would prove to be the right man for the job, knowing what to use so it would be steady against the New York Harbor wind. The father of the idea of the Statue of Liberty passed away in 1883. Le Boyer wasn't able to see the finished project, but he died knowing the vision became a reality. Back in America, construction on the pedestal began. It was the largest mass of concrete poured at that time. On July 4, 1884, hundreds gathered in Paris as the Statue of Liberty was presented to the United States Minister to France. There was an embarrassing situation going on with the pedestal back in New York because they had run out of funds and couldn't continue construction. Prominent publisher Joseph Pulitzer began a campaign in his newspaper saying that he would print the name of every single person who gave to the pedestal fund, no matter the amount. This ultimately worked because Americans understood that they had to do their part as the French people had. Over $100,000 was raised, enough to complete the pedestal. In 1885, a French warship carrying 214 cases packed with the Statue of Liberty made its way to the New York Harbor. Upon its arrival, over 100 ships greeted the warship carrying Lady Liberty. It took days to unload the crates, and instead of instantly being erected, the statue would sit in storage for nearly a year until the pedestal was complete. Upon the completion, reassembly of the statue began. This was done almost entirely by immigrants, mostly Italian. It was a rainy day in October when the statue was unveiled. The rain didn't deter people, though, because over 1 million people celebrated the day. Parades on both the water and land surrounded the statue, with some protest in the midst. There were only 2 women in attendance on Bedloe's Island during the official ceremony, while there were over 2,000 men. It was ironic, Lady Liberty being a woman, because women in America had basically no rights at the time. Women suffragists chartered a boat to see the ceremony since they were denied tickets and held up banners in objection. The ceremony featured music, a gun salute, speeches, and in attendance, the man himself, Bartoli. President Grover Cleveland gave a speech, but before he was able to, an applause broke out for over 15 minutes. The statue totaled 305 feet, including the pedestal. The copper is less than 2 pennies thick. Inscribed on the tablet is the 4th of July, 1776, in Roman numerals, while at her feet are broken chains. The 7 spikes on her crown are said to represent a halo, or the 7 continents, and the torch she is holding symbolizes the path to freedom. At the time, she was the tallest structure in New York. She is facing southeast to welcome ships entering the New York Harbor. Soon, the statue would welcome thousands of people a day when the government opened an immigration station on Ellis Island, near Bedloe's Island. Lady Liberty quickly became a symbol of freedom, hope, and democracy. Composer Richard Adler said, "To Americans, it has a very special meaning because all of the people in the country are former immigrants either themselves or in past generations of their family. It has to be that way. The immigrant experience is the history of our country." Over 12 million immigrants would be processed on Ellis Island before its closure in 1954. Around the time the statue was becoming a popular pillar, she was beginning to turn green from oxidation. By 1906, her copper color had completely went away. But she was staying with the times because the next year an elevator was installed in the statue. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge made the statue a national monument, and by 1933, she was placed in the care of the National Park Service. And Bedloe's Island was officially renamed Liberty Island in 1956. Before the centennial of the statue, major renovations had to happen. So in 1984, the statue closed to the public and underwent construction, like replacing rusted iron bars and getting a new torch. On July 5, 1986, the Statue of Liberty was officially reopened to the public, along with a new exhibit in the pedestal. The restoration totaled around $86 million. On the day of the September 11th attacks, as the first ferry out to Liberty Island was about to depart, the first World Trade Center was hit. They closed both Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty immediately, and no visitors ever reached the islands. For 100 days following the attacks, Liberty Island was closed. Visitor access to the actual Statue of Liberty was not permitted again until August of 2004. If you were to visit the statue today, you would be able to go inside both the pedestal and the crown. Tickets are required for both, and both have extremely demanding walks. You can see the original torch on display in a gallery in the Statue of Liberty Museum. Tickets for the statue cost around $25 a piece and requires a ferry ride to Liberty Island. It's generally open from 9 to 5 daily, but the last chance to enter the statue is at 3:30. In March of this year, one French politician humorously asked for the Statue of Liberty back, which was obviously rejected. Lady Liberty is a symbol of freedom for every American. She is used as a symbol for democracy that has prevailed through the years. For immigrants, which so many people are, she stands for hope. To some, she is just a statue. But to others, she is a representation of all that the United States is possible of being, which is truly a nation for all. Thank you so much for listening to episode 72. When I began my research into the statue, I really didn't know what to expect. I had visited the statue, well, on a ferry ride from afar, and of course she took my breath away. Her magnificent size can make anyone in awe, but I do believe I will have a greater sense of appreciation the next time I see her. Knowing the history behind things makes you see them in a different light, or at least it does to me. If you visit the statue, head on over to Ellis Island for a tour and to understand a bit more about the people who have made the country the place it is today, which is the Great American Melting Pot. For more information on the Statue of Liberty, watch Ken Burns' 1986 documentary, which I really liked for my research. If you have any questions over this episode or just want to talk history, email me at thechroniclesoftimepodcast@gmail.com. For citations on this episode and new blog posts, check out my website at thechroniclesoftimepodcast.com. Don't forget to tell all your friends about your favorite American history podcast and to leave me a rating and review while you're at it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode over the Statue of Liberty. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and this is the Chronicles of Time.